Let's pray as we come to this section of God's Word. Father, we thank and we praise you for your wonderful goodness to us in making yourself known. And we pray that today you would help us to hear your voice as it comes to us in Zechariah 1, 1-6. That we would hear your word and that we would respond with faith and obedience and repentance. And we ask all of this for Jesus' glory. Amen. Well, a Navy battleship was sailing one foggy night. Off in the distance saw a shining light, and the radar indicated that a collision was imminent unless evasive action was taken. And so the General Major grabbed the radio and communicated down the radio, "Move your course 10 degrees to the east." Well, a voice at the other end came back over the radio, "Negative. You move your course 10 degrees west." The general, growing very impatient, grabbed the radio and yelled down, "This is the Major General of the US Navy, traveling on one of the biggest battleships in the US fleet. You move your course 10 degrees east." The voice returned, "That is very impressive. However, we will not change our course because we're a lighthouse. Very easy to be like Sergeant General, isn't it? Unwilling to change direction, refusing to change course." Well, the Word of God in Zechariah 1 calls on us to do that very thing, to repent, to turn around, to turn from our ways, and to turn back to the Lord Almighty. And the call here is going to be, will we hear this word this morning? Will we hear it and will we turn? And I imagine for many of us, Zechariah is probably not on the high rotation list in our personal Bible study time. I take it that maybe some of us maybe have never even read it. Maybe for some of us, it was news that it actually even existed. Well, hopefully that won't remain true for us. Over the next 10 weeks, we're going to spend some time in Zechariah unpacking what God's word says for us here. And we're going to do that this morning with four simple points that are on the outline there for you. And so it'd be great if you had that open. It would also be great if you had Zechariah 1, 1 to 6 open, which is on page 793. But this word of God comes in real time and space. Zechariah begins, "In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of God came to the prophet Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo." Zechariah's ministry begins when the word of the Lord comes to him. And it's really important that we get that right from the start. Now, some people might have this perception that the prophets were kind of like philosophical interpreters of the world, and they looked around at the signs and maybe they did a bit of stargazing and came up with what they thought God should say. Quite the opposite. And to get that right, it's right to get it from the start. Zechariah receives the word of the Lord. He spoke the words of God, not his own. And that's why all the prophets, what's the cry of the prophets? "Thus says the Lord." Three times in these verses do we hear, "Thus says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts." Speaking the very words of God. And this is exactly what the New Testament tells us, doesn't it? In 2 Peter, we read of this. "First of all, you should know this. No prophecy of Scripture comes from one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And this word of God in the Old Testament comes to us in the form of Zechariah. And right at verse 1, we get the time and space in real history and real reality of where this word of God came. And for us to understand that time and that context is going to be really important for us getting Zechariah right. Getting Zechariah, what he means, right. And so on the inside of your handouts, you had a little A5 sheet with a Bible timeline and some important dates. It'd be great for you to mull those over the coming weeks. But for now, we see on this timeline up here, we see creation. Right up here, Jesus here, and we are in the middle here in the period of the divided monarchy. In 722, BC, the northern kingdom is taken over by Assyria. A couple of hundred or so years later, the southern kingdom of Judah, taken over by the Babylonians, exiled to Babylon. And this is the period where people are taken away over by those lions, over to Babylon. But in about 539 BC, a new power comes to power in Babylon, the Persians. Cyrus takes over the Babylonian Empire, and he has an edict. He edicts that everyone can go home. And so this is where we're at with when we come back onto the main line of the timeline. And so we're in this section here. And Zechariah comes to this people under the Persian ruler of Darius in about 520 BC. So about 500 years before Jesus came. This is the period of time we're looking at. And this word of God comes under this ruler, Darius. Darius, the Persian ruler. And Darius might not be very well known to us, but there's another prophet in the Bible who similarly brings the word of God to these people at this same time. The prophet Haggai. And so Haggai and Zechariah are going to have lots of overlap in their ministry, and we're going to see that in a moment. But this word of God that comes in real time and space to God's people, return to the land, is a word for a new generation. Those after the exile. And so at point two, a word of God for a new generation. Have a look at verse 2 and 3 with me. The Lord was very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus declares the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. This word of God to this new generation, back in the land. The exile is over. And the call here is to return to the Lord. As you've returned to the land, return to the Lord. Return to his purposes. There's lots of opposition here for the Jews, because as they went back into the land, they were to do what? They were to rebuild the temple, which had been destroyed. Jerusalem had been leveled to the ground. And the Jews, as they came back, were to rebuild the temple. But something had happened. The opposition had wearied them. And this is where we hear what Haggai has to say. It says, in the second year of King Darius, the sixth month, right? That's 2 months before what we read in Zechariah, which was in the eighth month. So Haggai and Zechariah are about 2 months apart, speaking to this exile community, or this returned from exile community. It says, in the second year of King Darius the king, in the sixth month of the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of the Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house of mine lays in ruins? And a few verses later we read this. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hill countries. Bring wood. Build the house that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that lays in ruins, while each of you has a house for himself with his own house. These returned exiles have been returned to the land. God has reconfigured the whole powers of the Middle East that his people would go home to reestablish Jerusalem and the temple. And 17 years later, the temple is still to be built. Haggai calls on them to rebuild the temple. And in this context, Zechariah's call for repentance makes complete sense. Repent, return to the Lord and his purposes. Recommit yourselves to participate in the kingdom of God. It's really a call to participate in the new movement that God has brought. And in those verses, we learn two clear things about God, don't we? In verse 2, we learn the Lord was very angry with your fathers. We learn that God gets angry with sin. We don't like to think of God being angry, do we? We don't like to think of God being angry at sin. But this is what Zechariah says. It says, the Lord was very angry with your fathers for their disobedience, for their forgetfulness of God's way, for their rebellion. And so God's anger had burned against his people. They'd gone off into exile. Jerusalem had been destroyed. But the second thing we learn of God here is that he is the king. He says, therefore, say to them, thus declares the Lord, return to me, says the Lord of hosts. There's a clear call here to return to God the king, to give up old ways and to recommit to living God's way in his land. And so Zechariah calls on this new generation in the land to repent and to return to the Lord. I think a really good illustration of what it means to repent are these signs. You know these ones? Maybe you've driven up the wrong way on an exit somewhere. This one's near the Harbour Bridge. I think that's quite ironic because once you get to these signs, you've usually gone too far anyway. They need to be a bit earlier. But anyway, wrong way, go back. That's what it means to repent, right? You're going the wrong way, turn around and go back. And that was the call here for this new generation in the land. And this is really, in a way, an introduction to the whole book of Zechariah, the whole prophetic ministry of Zechariah. A call to stop and to turn around and go God's way. And so this word of God comes to this new generation with a warning from the past, doesn't it? In verse 4, do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets cried out, thus says the Lord of hosts, return from your evil ways and from your evil deeds. But they did not hear or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. That previous generation who had been taken away into Babylon understood exactly what it meant to hear the word of God and to reject it. In verse 6, but my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? So they repented and said, as the Lord of hosts purposed to deal with us for our ways and our deeds, so has he dealt with us. And Zechariah brings to mind this past generation, and the call is clear, isn't it? Don't be like them. Don't make the same mistake they did. God sent many prophets to call his people back to him, but they did not listen. Like a little child running out onto the road after the ball, they didn't hear the call of their loving father to stop and to return to him. And so God's anger burned in judgment against his people. A warning from the past, don't make the same mistake they did. The New Testament says that some of the things that happen, or the things that happen in the Old Testament, like in 1 Corinthians 10, it's talking about the Old Testament failure of God's people. It says, these things serve as examples so you wouldn't be like them. You wouldn't make the same mistake of following them. One of the well-known Psalms of Psalm 95, quoted in Hebrews 3, says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. And so today, this word of God stands before you and I. As it stood before that first generation who heard it, the voice of God calls loud and strong, repent, return to me, and I'll return to you. So point 4, a word of God for us. A present call to repent. To return to God. To submit to him as king. To participate in his kingdom. It's a call really to recognize that God is the real ruler, isn't it? And that I'm not. You might have noticed that in the same way that Zechariah's ministry begins with a strong call, return to the Lord, Jesus comes preaching the message of the kingdom. The kingdom is at hand. What does he say next? Repent and believe in the gospel. Later in Luke's gospel, Jesus says, I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Jesus says, in my coming, the kingdom of God is here. The way to respond is not to keep going on your merry way, but it's to stop, turn around, and see the King, to serve the King, to participate in the kingdom. These words of Zechariah are really the same words that Jesus preached to that generation, and they're the same words that stand before you and I today. There is a King, and it's not you. It's not me. Jesus, the King, has come. And we can see that in the Scriptures, can't we? We can see God's work in the past. The Messiah has come. The kingdom has drawn near. Christ has died and risen. God's anger at sin has been spent at the cross. God's kingdom is in our midst. And we know of God's future, don't we? Christ is returning. We've just sung about it. Christ is returning. There is a day that will come when the kingdom will come in all its fullness. Which we pray in the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. A day we long for. And we live right smack in the middle of that, don't we? Right in the present. And the call for us in the present is to repent and believe that the kingdom of God is here. And I imagine sitting here today, there are only really two types of people. There's those who haven't yet repented. They haven't yet turned to Christ as Lord and Savior. They haven't recognized God's kingdom. Maybe you've been here only for a little while. Or maybe you've been here for years. But you know deep in your heart, right in the power seat of your heart, you still sit powerful and triumphant. The call here is stop. Turn back. Repent and believe. Turn back to the Lord and submit to Him as ruler. Imagine the second type of person sitting here today is someone who has repented, who has returned to the Lord. And the challenge, I think, here is are we powering on? Are we still repenting daily of our sin? Are we still looking to our Lord and Savior? Has our zeal still bubbling away? Are we still on the tools for the kingdom of God? Or have we bundied off early? Have we, you know, to be a tradie, have we been on smoko indefinitely? A few teachers out there, have we stayed at little lunch too long? Are you still on the tools? Are you still longing for that glorious appearing of Christ when He brings the kingdom in all its fullness? I wonder if, like Zechariah's generation, we're wearied sometimes by the opposition that comes our way as we try to look to Christ in all that we do. The message here is continue to repent. That's really the Christian life, isn't it? That's the disposition as we get up every morning. It's how am I going to repent of this sin? How am I going to look more to Christ as my King today? How am I going to repent of selfishness and put on other person-centeredness? I wonder what things are in our life that ought not be. Maybe it's things like gossip. Maybe it's things like slander. You love to just see when someone else falls and stick the boot in. And maybe it's things like self-control in our life. In front of our computer screens. Maybe in front of the cold beer in the fridge. Maybe it's things in our life we just kind of like to create division amongst people. Maybe it's things like laziness or selfishness. Maybe it's something like, I just find it really hard to admit that I'm in the wrong in my relationships. I'm hard-headed. I'll never see that I'm wrong, which really, really concerns me for Christian people to have that sort of mindset. For at some time, you're going to have had to admit that you are wrong before the Creator of everything. If you can't admit that you've made errors in your relationships, what does it say about how we've turned to Christ? So the message from Zechariah this morning is, hear this word of God to you today. Repent of those things. Return to the Lord and his kingdom. Renew your zeal for God's kingdom and his wonderful King, the Lord Jesus. For Christ has died, he's risen, and he's set to return, isn't he? To bring the kingdom in all its fullness and all its glory. And this word in Zechariah today calls us, challenges us to see that glorious kingdom come in Christ. And it challenges us to serve this King. Amen.